We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. It is a glorious and wondrous day in the fine city of Chicago. We got a little snow.
Not as much as they'd said, but a little dusting. Bit. Yeah, a little light snow.
We can handle that.
A little more to come, but we can.
How much more?
Seems like an every other day thing. This week we're in that little cycle.
Oh, yeah, we're in the snow cycle.
A little snow, a little cold, a little more snow, just to keep you on your toes.
It's all right. It's all right. There's big stuff happening.
Oh.
There's big news and happy news. Brad Childress, our favorite former Viking coach, is coming on board as an offensive consultant, which is great for the Bears. Get another voice in that room.
It's
get
terrific.
A guy that it really is terrific. We kind of called for this. We talked about it, and we talked to Brad Childress, and we'll play you a couple of his comments about this. Again, the more guys you can have with experience, with understanding of how to put together a game plan, how to call plays, how to go about the business, the better you are.
Yep.
And this is a guy that has done it, and he's done it at the highest level, and that's saying more than really the other guys that they have.
What?
And I'm not against the guys they have.
You know what? When you can have an experienced voice
yes.
in the building or a phone call away, it's terrific. And
right.
when we talked to Brad a few weeks ago, and he said, I never say never about, you know, how retired are you, was basically the question. I don't know about you, Mo. I got a ton of reaction from friends and people saying, man, didn't know much about Brad Childress, never really had heard him talk before. And really, we're pumped up by the idea that this guy was just the salt of the earth, down to, you know, no BS about him.
Chicago guy.
Yeah. So it's terrific. I think Chicago guy made good.
You got to love the Chicago guys. And again, you know, here's a guy that has been, you know, a top dog, understands how to go through the problems that come up as a head coach in the NFL.
Yep.
He's also been in the room and has taken part in exactly what we're talking about with what we're seeing from Philadelphia, what they do in Kansas City, what Andy Reid's people do, and hopefully what they now do in Chicago.
Yeah, what transpires here, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a real good it's a good piece of news, and it delighted me to see it. I was also delighted by the Bulls. It is fantastic. They wrapped up their 3-game West Coast road trip with a 104-98 loss to the Kings last night. They had a rally from a big lead in order to get that
yep.
loss, and it's now 7 in a row. And now the tank is on.
That's like a blueprint game.
That's what it means.
I mean, you have a bad Kings. The Kings are one game ahead of you in the race to the bottom. And you give Bulls fans a little bit of excitement. You give them a good first half, get the 21-point lead. The one core piece out there, Zach LaVine, has a terrific night until they put the clamps on him. And say, let someone else try to beat us. And then, so you get a little bit of everything.
Big dunk.
Yeah.
Big in-your-face dunk for Zach LaVine. So that's good to see.
Jakarr Sampson.
Coming back from the old the ACL injury.
Yeah.
Again, I think when you're without Chris Dunn, and word is that he is still close but not returning, according to Fred Hoiberg, he was in the return-to-play testing portion of the NBA concussion protocol, and he has a treadmill test.
When we talked to Pax last week, did you get the idea he was still weeks away? He said, you know, by the way, he hasn't done anything for, you know, a while now.
He also said, did you see the fall?
Right.
I mean that.
But I mean, even once he gets cleared from protocol, he hasn't done anything physically. His stamina has to be built back up.
Build his body back up.
I would not be shocked if we're talking 2-3 weeks away still.
And Lauri Markkanen, they had him. Well, you know what? You missed the flight, and the weather's bad. Don't even worry about it.
Take care of the newborn. Hang out with the family,
yeah,
and we'll see you when we get back.
And that's great news because, again, we've reached the sort of White Sox era, current White Sox era portion of the Bulls stretch, which is If Markkanen plays well, if you win because of him, that's fine. If Dunn plays well and you win because of him, that's fine. If Zach LaVine is unbeatable and he wins a game, okay, we're all on board.
We can live with that.
Without those three guys contributing, without the core, as we're calling them, being able, best young core in basketball, best of the bunch. I don't know about that. But without that core contributing, these losses are empty.
Yeah.
So it was great to see them come out and get a good start. And you know what? I mean, if you really watch the beginning of the game, they did not get a good start.
No, it was Sacramento.
Sacramento went
0
for 10 with three turnovers.
Took 6 minutes to even hit a basket.
They're on their own tank. Yeah. We're busy getting it done over here. But to lose that game is great news. And again, Dunn won't be back. Markkanen probably will be back. He's going to work out with the Windy City Bulls. They told him, don't even bother. The next game is
Campaign
Friday.
Campaign, too, by the way. Campaign cleared for the G League.
Is that right?
Practices,
Campaign's going to start practicing.
Coming to a court near you.
Boy.
Soon.
You know, that makes me shudder.
I got the Jimmy Butler game scheduled.
Now, a guy that doesn't belong in the NBA.
Point guard of the future guard? Don't think so. So the campaign return game, that's also a big ticket.
I feel that I have to scream "and now" every time you play that music, because that is the entirety of my impersonation.
That's right.
Which apparently everyone can do. So I apologize.
It's like is that Pavlov's dog situation.
It really is. I hear that music and I...
Is that Ray Clay or Tommy Edwards version?
I go Ray Clay, but Tommy Edwards is currently doing it.
Yeah.
But I'm, as you know, I'm such a dinosaur that that I was there. When I was there, it was Ray Clay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my Ray Clay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got the Bulls losing, and they're stacking losses here, which is very good for a rebuild, very good for a tank.
They got a few days off. Don't stop the momentum here.
You know what? You say that, but I'm smiling. I'm smiling because the Bulls' next game is Friday, the day after the trade deadline, and our guy KC is telling us that they're working hard to get more pieces moved to get Robin Lopez out of here because he's pretty good. They welcome in the Thunder Wolves.
Robin Lopez, you will never hear a more Stanford.
They welcome in the Thunderclap.
You'll never hear a more Stanford-like explanation for a rant where he had to be restrained, threw a chair in the tunnel as he exited to the Bulls locker room after getting teed twice and ejected. And then in the NBA, this is so – the disconnect between what you saw on the floor and his explanation in the evening, I mean, this is erudite. Huh, what's the word I'm looking for?
Let's listen.
Grand gesture. Subdued.
Yeah, he's
warranted.
Very good. He's very good. He's a bright guy. Went to Stanford. He's a Stanford man.
Yes, he is.
If you go to Stanford, it makes you a Stanford man. Who was the hockey enforcer? Grimmy?
Stu Grimson. The Grim Reaper.
I remember asking him a question in the locker room after a game. And, I mean, he had just ripped someone's head off.
As Stu would do.
And he said something along the lines of, well, there's a long and storied tradition of pugilism in the NHL. I actually laughed as he answered.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, wow, that's unexpected.
Yeah.
From a guy who's, what's your occupation? Hockey goon?
I'm an enforcer, yeah.
Really?
Is he a Stanford guy?
Yeah. I don't know if he's a Stanford guy, but he was a very...
All the enforcers I covered back in the era where pretty much every team had one, they would put their teeth in before they'd start doing the interview. And then you'd get that. You get this really subdued personality.
Yeah.
Proby, for all the demons, he was also a very laid-back, quiet
guy.
Was he
really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but, on the ice, I always got a kick because any young guy who, debuted and he was an up-and-coming enforcer,
a piece of Bob Probert.
He said, it gets kind of tiresome every game. The guy, kids drop the gloves and come on, Probe, let's go. And you have to accommodate him because,
he's the old gunslinger.
Yeah, someone accommodated Probe when he was trying to, earn his, show everyone what he's got, too.
Is that accommodate them?
Yeah.
Corey Crawford continues to practice with the Blackhawks, who host the Flames tonight at the United Center. There is still no timetable on his return, but it does look like he'll play this year. And the Blackhawks still 5 points out of the wild card. Three teams is the more important number than the 5 points.
Did you see who's on the fourth line, at least at practice yesterday, for today's all-important Calgary game?
I did not.
Sharpie and Brandon Saad.
I thought we had decided Calgary was the pronunciation.
Okay.
You did say Calgary.
Yes.
I thought it was Calgary, like Billy Bob. I thought that was Canadian Billy Bob.
It is, but it's, you know, kind of affected.
Okay. So you're going with Calgary?
We're going back to that?
And it's Vancouver.
No, it's not Vancouver.
Lindsey Vonn.
Was that Vancouver?
Vancouver.
Is that a villain in a movie?
Yeah, they called it, she had great success there.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, think of Stan Bowman's couple, you know, signature moves in the offseason, and they're on the fourth line.
All right, we've got a lot to get to. We got the 5 and 5 next. It's Mully and Hanley at Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
This segment brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Join Napa Rewards today to save $5 on every $100 you spend on the parts you need to keep your car on the road. Quality parts, helpful people, that's Napa know-how.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
What do you think about the addition of Brad Childress to the Bears coaching staff?
I think it makes the Bears coaching staff better. Simply put, I think they become a better coaching staff with a guy like that. You know, one of the things we would talk about last year is the idea that Dal Logan's had no one to lean on, no one to go to, no one to talk to. He was operating downhill, not uphill, and he was unable to have someone near him or above him or someone with experience, an old veteran hand that could point him in a direction when he was making mistakes. And instead, he just had guys that were more inexperienced than he was. So I think that this is a wonderful thing for a guy like Matt Nagy to have, for a guy like Mark Helfrich, for guys that don't have tons of experience as NFL play callers. I mean, Mark Helfrich has never called a play in the NFL. He's the offensive coordinator. Certainly Matt Nagy has called, what, 5 games during the regular season, 1 playoff game that didn't go phenomenally. It's one thing to study at the feet of the master. It's another thing to actually do it yourself. And it does not hurt you to have somebody in the room putting plays together, putting plans together that has done it at the highest level before. So I think it's a wonderful thing to have, and another guy that you can bounce things off of, and kind of an overviewer, if you will, a figure that can help you if you get stalled or you run into some problems or things aren't working as well. You know, even as a head coach, someone that has seen dealing with different personalities things, you know, knowing how the dynamics of this work and what you do and how you get out of it and where you make your mark and where you don't. And I think that anytime you can consult with someone with experience at something, it is a huge, huge boon. So congratulations to the Bears. Congratulations to Matt Nagy for getting this guy. And certainly it's great to have a Chicago guy on board.
Yeah, it's great that Brad wants to keep his hand in it as much as he can, or as little as he wants, but whatever, to be available on his terms. And the other thing is, like you said, alluded to, Molly, that, you know, it's one thing to the football aspect of it, not having called the plays for an extensive period of time, but all the other pitfalls that will come up as a head coach. It's, you know, you can watch Andy Reid, you can watch the Bill Belichick. You have to do things your way. You have to take your personality and apply it to the job. And hopefully someday there's a Malcolm Butler type talent on the Bears that you're going to have to deal with and make a tough call on. But Brad Childress has probably seen just about everything when it comes to dealing with personalities and trying to, you know, to be able to point Matt Nagy into the right direction, or if, you know, little fires don't become 3 alarm fires if you handle it the right way. So it's great that when you're dealing with so many different personalities and then your first time you're doing it, you know, you have to have that voice controlling the room and being in front of 53 guys on game days. But it's great to be able to lean on a guy who's seen just about everything and can help you through all the things that, you know, you might not expect to pop up that will pop up and you're going to have to handle. When you're an offensive coordinator or quarterback's coach, you can be more buddy to a player than you are superior, right? But at some point, now you're the head coach. Now you're going to have to be the disciplinarian too. And now you're going to have to call a guy out when his play isn't good enough. So, you know, it's great to have Brad Childress there to tell you, you know, how you go about, you know, such things.
It makes me feel better about the entire coaching staff. The one criticism that I had up until yesterday was that they just lacked experience, especially with quarterback development and play calling.
Yep.
Of course, Nagy only did it for a half of a season, and then all of a sudden he's your head coach and he's your play caller. Now, Childress changes all of that. And it's interesting. There's a lot of positivity in the last couple of days going on with the Bears. It may be a leap, but it makes you feel a little better seeing Doug Peterson, another Andy Reid disciple, go out in his second year and wins a Super Bowl. We don't know if Nagy's going to be anything like Doug Peterson. We don't know if the quarterback here is any good. We don't know if Ryan Pace is going to bring depth to this team like they had in Philly. But there are reasons to be positive, and I love this hiring of Childress.
Yeah, I fail to see how anybody could be against this hire. Here's a guy who's been coaching somewhere in the NFL since before I was born, since he was with the Colts in 1985 as their quarterback's coach. And a big theme of this regime so far, and it's obviously very early days, but a big theme seems to be collaboration. They don't run one scheme. They don't just have one guy calling the plays. They don't defer to just one guy in the room. It's a big collaborative effort. So if you can get a guy like this with this kind of experience, and a Chicago guy, you know, we all love that around here. This is fantastic.
Well, you know, we say that nobody can put a wet blanket on it and say why it's a bad thing, but unfortunately,
you'll try.
I'm gonna give you one little tiny thing. It's gonna sound a little selfish, but it is for you, the audience, and for us, the show. I had high hopes that if Brad Childress did not become a consultant with this team, that Brad Childress would be a regular on the Mully and Hanley show, a regular on the Score, and could give us kind of a behind the scenes, inside the mind, without exactly telling us really, really, really what's happening, but give us kind of an idea of what might be going on and how things might be working, and kind of an insider's view. As a fan, I'm thrilled about it. From a radio side, that's my little disappointment, because I thought we might have a chance to get a little closer to the Bears than we were last year.
Yeah, it's very interesting. We had a really fun interview.
Great
with him.
Fun, and we're going to bring some of that back.
Yeah,
it was fun.
And we felt like, you know, we talked about it afterwards. Boy, that'd be a great guy.
Great contributor,
Talk to on a weekly basis. Like, okay, so what goes on in the room? What makes that play look good at that point? Just kind of go over different stuff without him being too critical of the coach or of play calling. Just kind of discuss the process with him. And we did have that conversation, and
he knows Matt Nagy so well, just like when
knows that system.
We have Rich Gannon on, and at the time with Mark Trestman, you know, it sounded like Rich was on the phone with Mark every week, so he kind of had an idea of what was going on with the head coach of the Bears at the time, and could bring that to the radio.
Kind of a serial killer mentality.
Dueling coaches.
Has Robin Lopez played his last game for the Bulls, and would it be better for the team if he stayed?
You know, now that Nico was moved out, I kind of forgot Thursday is the trade deadline, and I'm watching early part of that game last night because it's on late, and there's Robin and you know, getting run and everything else. I love the fact he was still in his uniform by the time the post game was taking place. He hadn't gone anywhere. I don't know. I was surprised they got a first-round pick for Nico. I don't know if you combine Robin Lopez and Jerian Grant and whomever else that you're coming up with another first-round pick. So if that's not the case, you know, there are worse guys you could have on the team. He's got a 9-year veteran, does all the dirty work. All he wants to go out there, rebound, and space the floor for other guys. Does let them get their points. The mentoring thing is overblown, but a guy who can show him how it's done, and it sounds weird after he got thrown out and, you know, threw a chair off the floor. But that's not. I mean, that was so out of his personality. And then you heard his personality in the post game. He's just a real chill guy. I think that would be a good guy to have to teach these guys how to become a professional. And for, you know, they have nothing but money. So the $14 million he's due in the final year of his contract next year, and you can revisit it next year, right? I mean, if you can't get what you hope for another first-round pick, who knows what lies ahead next year and how desperate teams might be for that guy.
They're not getting a first-round pick.
No, so I'd keep him around. I wouldn't just give him away just because you're intent on anything that's not nailed down of value. You know, it's got to go by Thursday. You know, if you don't hear of anything of value, and I wouldn't just, you know, show him the door just because. I'd keep him around.
He's a reliable player. He is a guy, as you said, he's a pro. He's a guy that's good in the locker room. You're not going to have personality conflicts with him. And in fact, he was sort of the go-to guy when there were personality conflicts. There are a lot of positives. But the problem with having a guy like that around is that he's not part of the long-term future, and it's the core that counts. And so you need to know who is part of the long-term future, and you need to play Cristiano
Felicio,
and you need to get guys on the floor that maybe can't play and maybe help you with the teardown. He's just a little too good, and he's a little too solid, and I would try to move him. I would be happy to move him for a second-round pick. I think any kind of assets you could get for him is a good idea. You're running out of time. As you say, Brian, if you can't get it done now, you can get it done next year. I wouldn't just, kick the guy out. I think he belongs in the NBA. I think he's a real solid, hardworking guy. I like the guy. I just think that you would be better off trying to get him someplace else and going with a guy that you know is going to help you with the teardown, with the tank job. And I'm all on board with the tank
now. Can we say the Bulls won the Derrick Rose trade because they got Lopez and Jerry Grant? God.
I
mean, think about that.
That is unbelievable. That's very sad. But I'm for moving them. I'm for getting it done and trying to get – I wouldn't get caught up. I mean, I think with Nico, you wanted to get caught up. You wanted to get a first-round pick. That was his value. I don't think you have the same value here, and I have no problem with them getting any kind of asset because part of it is the teardown and the tank job.
I'll say Rolo sticks around. The Bulls clearly value what he brings to that locker room. Maybe he can show some of these young guys that aren't even here yet how to be a pro, except for Bobby Portis. It's not an expiring contract, so I think that plays into it a little bit. And the other part is I don't think they're going to like what they're hearing about what they would get in return for Robin Lopez. Right. So I'll say he stays past Thursday.
I would say move him and for as little as a second-round pick just because the Bulls seemingly have no value of second-round picks and they've given so many of them away in trades or for $3.5 million to the Warriors or whatever kind of way they're figuring out to get rid of these second-round picks. At some point, you're going to have to get a few back. And I know the hit rate is very low on a second-round pick, but when you're a rebuilding team like the Bulls are and you don't have much to work with, you're going to want some of those back. So while I'd like Robin Lopez to stick around, he's an engaging personality, fun guy to watch play, obviously busting his ass out there every night. So I would say try to get something for him, but I won't be exactly heartbroken if he's still here.
This is a really good question, and I think it's a little tricky. Mully and Hanley, I thought you both made good points about why he should stay and why he should go, but I think I'm going to go with Hanley because with this little caveat, restrict the minutes. Maybe he doesn't start. Maybe he plays with the second unit now, assuming that he can still be a good presence. They still need that. While you're also tanking and looking for draft picks, better, higher draft picks, you also need to continue to build that culture. Have a good guy in the room. He seems like that type of guy. And there's no value for him because it's not him. It's where the NBA is going. What he does, that's not like starting five material in the NBA. Guys don't, that position is basically becoming extinct. That's not the time. When you're 7 foot tall, you're jacking threes. You're not playing with your back to the basket and blocking shots.
But you know what? If you're setting picks to get Lauri Markkanen better looks and making them better players that way too, I mean, if you can maximize their talent by doing all the things that he's capable and willing to do.
I lean towards keeping him around personally, but limit the minutes.
Did benching Malcolm Butler cost New England the Super Bowl?
I think it hurt him. I think that guy played 97% of the snaps in the regular season, and now you're not available for the Super Bowl. And by all accounts, they told the team right before the game. That's why Malcolm Butler was crying during the not the national anthem, but the God Bless America. And apparently, it was kind of a perfect storm of a confluence of events where he had been unwell or unable to really partake in practices the week before the Super Bowl. He obviously didn't join the team until with permission, by the way, but then there was some curfew violation or something like that. Usually in those circumstances, depending on the severity of what he did, you would bench him and you would bring him into the game. You wouldn't start him, but you would bring him into the game. I think the guys around him are used to him playing. They know what they have with him. They trust him, and they're not looking over their shoulder to make sure that he's doing his job. I think it's a weird thing to have done, and I would like to know. I'd like more information.
Yeah, I didn't even hear about the curfew violation. I mean,
there were rules violations. There were rules violations, and there was some other stuff going on that maybe he was out doing, and that's why he was late getting back. And again, I mean, it's a serious matter, and it's the kind of thing that that you got to be. If you got team rules, you got to stick with it, but. Boy, I thought it hurt them. I thought they were a pretty mediocre defense for the most part. I know that their numbers looked better in the second half of the year. They started the year poorly, and they got better as the year went on. But they never really got over the hump. I never thought of them. They never scared me as a defense. And I thought that took something away, and I thought that that Philadelphia did a pretty good job of attacking. I think there was an arrogance to being able to bench a guy like that. And I think that that because of all the success and everything else, no one's going to question Bill Belichick about that. No one's going to say a harsh word about him. He is the greatest NFL coach of all time and all that stuff. But that one just was a little bit much. Was there an element, too, that he's leaving as a free agent and he's not going to be here? And you know, but they did have him play.
So the coordinators.
They had him play on a special teams play.
One play.
One play, so he's in the book. You know, so maybe they threw him a bone that way, but I would need more information to judge it, but I think it hurt him in the game, and it was a close game, so I'll go with I don't know that costing them the Super Bowl, it's a little bit harsh, but it certainly it impaired them a little bit, and they lost the game. So, you know, I guess maybe yeah.
Yeah, no, you know, it's probably too strong. It is too strong to say it cost him, but certainly it sure as hell didn't help him. I mean, when the next attempted arm tackle that didn't exactly work, and there's third and long turning into a 20-yard play, how many times do you need to see that where he could have been a difference maker? You know, and the idea that the team finds out right before the game, so now what's the mindset of the team? You know, they've had all the questions we have. Well, what the hell's going on here? You know, we're trying to win the championship. And you talk about sore losers. Did you see this? One guy, Eric Lee, a defensive lineman, one guy talked to the media in their, you know, as they cleaned out their lockers yesterday, and a bunch of guys were using expletives, you know, get the bleep away from me. I don't have to talk bleep to you. I don't know you bleep. And even Belichick was on a conference call. I mean, this, you know, I guess you show up for the parade and the rally and Gronk can be shirtless and drinking beers with the Patriots Nation, but they're not used to this or I mean, talk about a group that really didn't handle it well. And meanwhile, Lane Johnson's going to have free beer for everyone. Bud Light's going to pop for beers for everyone in Philly. That's going to be fun. Wait till you see that city. But, yep. I mean, the arrogance, you said it, Molly, the arrogance of this thing is just beyond me. And when this full story comes out, and I think ultimately it will, once Malcolm Butler is a free agent, you're going to be able to put the pieces together here and figure out who was right and who was wrong. But right now it's, you know, Bill Belichick's not going to give you anything, so the speculation is going to be there, and people are going to connect the dots whether they're there or not.
Think about what's been coming out in the last 24 hours here. There's a report yesterday, a guy that used to be in the media about a curfew, something going on with local cops, this and that. An Eagles assistant told the MMQB that was crazy to bench Butler. They have a better option. There's guys like former players like Ty Law are going out there. What the hell is going on? We need to find out what happened here. Reports of a divided locker room. Brian was just talking about what was going on in the locker room yesterday. They had a better option on the bench. A guy that's been a Super Bowl hero for them. And they decided not to go.
What's the owner think, too, by the way? Does the owner ask Bill Belichick what's going on?
The owner wants him traded.
He was apologizing yesterday to the fans.
Yeah.
The Patriots are great at ignoring all the noise, but they haven't been here before.
That was a Garoppolo choke.
Yes, I got you.
But they, you know, that was one of the theories is they traded Garoppolo because of the locker room, right?
Right.
Bill recognized some fraction in the locker room. I don't know.
And the owner loved Garoppolo.
Right.
See, Ryan Pace had the right idea. Don't draft a quarterback say you're going to do it, don't actually do it, because then that creates division.
Yeah, if you have two great quarterbacks, right, all you do is get headaches. Okay,
so not worth it.
So go
it's
get Mike Glennon, and no one's going to be upset other than the fans. Yeah.
Pace is a genius. The Patriots allowed
really smart
538 yards of total offense in the Super Bowl. I don't think Malcolm Butler would have helped that much to change the game. I mean, he's a better player than who you saw out there. And yes, there is going to be more that comes out, but I don't know if just one guy who's a very good player, but not an elite cornerback in this league, not the top of the mountain, so to speak. I don't think he's going to affect 538 yards. So I am interested to see what else comes out in this story. There's going to be a lot more unraveling here, but as far as this question goes, no, benching him did not cost them the Super Bowl.
Well, it sure didn't help. It sure didn't help. And again, maybe how it was handled didn't help. If he was crying because he found out right before kickoff that he wasn't playing. I know you guys talked about it. I've heard others talk about it. Wait a minute. He can play special teams, but he's not healthy enough to play in the game. Could he rush the quarterback? I mean, that's the biggest issue for the Patriots all year. They had no pressure on the quarterback at all. Did it lose them the game? No, but it sure as heck didn't help.
What would it tell you if Josh McDaniels does not become the next Colts coach?
Man, if I was in Indianapolis right now, I'd be a little concerned that his heart and soul doesn't seem to be in the gig. And whether the speculation yet again was he waiting to see if Bill Belichick actually walked away from this thing and he would be the heir apparent and step into the big job with the Patriots, or you should. I mean, one thing for Matt Patricia not to even address the stuff because he just figures it's a distraction, but this seems to be the distraction seems to be for Josh McDaniels. He's not sure he really wants to do it and maybe thinks there's going to be a better opening next year if he bides his time. But, you know, Andrew Luck, and if I was the Colts brass, I'd have some serious concerns that the guy's, you know, begrudgingly taking it or deciding he's going to settle and take it now because he's not sure what's going to happen. And he said he wouldn't do it. He said he wasn't going to jump just at anything, but I would want a guy who was much more enthusiastic about it. And Josh McDaniels doesn't seem to be that guy right now.
Yeah, I saw the Pro Football Talk headline. We'll talk to Mike Florio later in the program. And the headline was Josh McDaniels to follow through with Colts.
I mean,
he's the presumptive head coach, and he has shown, I don't know whether you call it reluctance or whether you call it caution or, a flat out rethinking of this, but that's rough. I mean, that is like, hey, here's our new head coach. He's pretty sure he wants to be here. It is
pretty sure.
It's like, it's just a really strange type of event. I suppose the speculation is that that he's going to wait and make sure Belichick's coming back because that would be a better job than the one he's going to take. And he has a commitment to him. My first thought was like, wow, thank God the Bears didn't wait on that guy.
Yeah.
Because, boy, if he did, you know, while he was at the Super Bowl, he had a chance to take a long look. Okay, finally, everything's done. Oh, God, that was a long week. Now here, right before the game, the night before my bedtime reading, I'll just take a look at my new team's
wide receivers. Don't have any.
He didn't sleep last night because he was looking over the Bears roster and what he could do with it. So, I'm glad that they got their guy and they got their staff and everything's in place. It's a weird story. It's strange that maybe he wanted Patricia to have his moment and then he'll have his moment. Maybe there is something like that, but. You know, I thought that our buddy Mike Chappell, the tweet that he sent out, just saying that he will be the next head coach of the Colts, and that there was an agreement, but you can't make it official. It can't be an official agreement until after the Super Bowl, so league rules prevent that from happening. But that they would be awful pissed off, to use that term, if indeed he did not become their head coach. So that would be left at the altar. That'd be a rough one. If that were to happen, the first name I saw thrown out there, Dave Tobe.
Yeah. Connect all the dots there.
Yeah. Chris Ballard.
Josh McDaniels, if he's, it tells me that if he stays in New England, that he's the coach in waiting.
Yes.
And this is how it was supposed to be with Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick. But it's odd as we sit here and wait and wait. There are still people saying it's a done deal. Don't worry.
Right.
It's going to happen still eventually.
He'll follow through.
Many people
follow through
connected to New England though. But then yesterday I saw a Patriots reporter that said, well, if they bring in Greg Schiano, he's going to be the coach in waiting. How many coach in waitings are you going to have here? Bill Belichick turns 66 next season. And the other thought on this, we had this conversation during the 5-on-5 a couple of weeks ago. Is the Colts the worst job? Even though you have Andrew Luck, you have the quarterback with the owner, with everything else going on there, is it the worst job of all those that were available?
Josh McDaniels is a guy who has been around the league for a while now and has always been pretty highly regarded as a coordinator. But first time he tried being a head coach in Denver, we all know how that ended up, didn't work out very well for him. And the excuse that was made, okay, yeah, he was in his early 30s. Maybe it was a little too early for him to take control of a football team. Let's give him another decade and let's give him another go at it. So if he backs out again after what happened to Denver 10 years ago, and now he goes back on his word here for Indianapolis, you know, it starts to become a pattern. You start to have a little bit of a poor reputation. People call you a weasel. Not me, of course, but other people might call Josh McDaniels a weasel. So I think it would reflect very poorly upon old Joshy if he doesn't take this job, because if a man doesn't have his word, Dustin, what does he have?
Well, we got our words. Let's start connecting some dots. So last week I talked about the fedora wearing Belichick, getting off the plane. This is the kinder, gentler Belichick.
Wearing
kind of
his dad.
Maybe not ask Malcolm Butler that
wearing
question.
Wearing his dad's hat, right?
Wearing his dad's hat, kind of a tribute there. Okay. Then in the middle of the week, what did he do? He went to a basketball game. I mean, that was like almost the ultimate disrespect to the Eagles. Like, you know what? It's the Eagles. I got Tommy Brady. I'm
taking
the night off.
He didn't stay forever. No, he went with his buddy.
No, he went with his wife. He went with his wife.
I'm saying he went
to see two.
Okay,
yeah.
But that's unusual.
Of course, game week.
It's unusual. There's always a live sporting event going on in the host city of the Super Bowl. So you're saying that he only went because of Thibodeau? Like he wouldn't
have went
to a T-Wolves game?
Well, I think
the question
interesting.
You have to ask
what you're
yourself.
Asking is interesting.
I'm just connecting dots here. So the fedora, he wore a suit on media night. He actually handled it pretty well. He was pretty professional. Then on the Wednesday night or Thursday night of the Super Bowl week, he goes to a basketball game. Then he benches Malcolm Butler. Then his reaction after the game, after the loss. Now, I'd have to go back through the video, but like he went to his knees. Like he went down almost like that was it. Like this is it. And yesterday he didn't lead on to it. I'm just saying, I'm just watching things. And now this thing going on with the coach. Like maybe he wants to be the picker of the groceries, right? And he's going to be more of a GM, a Brad Childress, if you will. He'll consult. But he's not going to be the day in, day out grinding on the game planning and disciplinary and all that kind of stuff. So maybe this is a little transition, and this is why Josh McDaniels isn't being announced yet in Indianapolis.
Bovada made the Patriots 5-1 favorites to win the Super Bowl next year. The Packers are 9-1. The Vikings are 12-1. The Bears are 100-1. Where is the value?
Where's the value with those teams? I mean, I don't think the value is with the Patriots, that's for sure. I would not bet on the Packers. I think the value is with the Vikings, depending on who they bring in at the quarterback position and what they're able to do with the offensive coordinator. They got a chance to go new offensive coordinator and new quarterback, and I think that defense is not getting worse. So I'd say the value in that group, is that what we're supposed to – are we supposed to – pick that group? I understand the thinking that you got the Steelers and you got the Patriots and you don't have a lot else in the AFC. Maybe the Jags can take another step forward if indeed they make a move at quarterback. Sounds like they might not, but they've got to, don't they? I mean, if they really are serious about winning a Super Bowl, and I think Coughlin understands how to get that act together. So I would think that would be one to consider. You know, I mean, we only have four teams listed here, so the value, I think, is with the Vikings at 12-1 out of that group.
It's interesting that two of the Bears' division foes are in the top five here, right? And one of those, the Packers, didn't make the playoffs because we know Aaron Rodgers was out, but tells you how much odds makers value Aaron Rodgers. So no matter whatever strides the Bears hopefully make this next season, they're tied with Cleveland for 100-1 at the bottom, at the absolute bottom. I think this speaks to that, you know, Gil Brandt projections about worst to first scenarios, and that's why he had the Bears of the eight teams number eight for
right.
the likelihood of that happening. You know, the fact that the Eagles are tied with the Packers at 9-1, and Molly, I'm with you. I wouldn't put a dollar on the Patriots. There's enough funky stuff going on here. Plus, you throw in the added Super Bowl loser.
Well, I didn't say that. I just don't think that's value at 5-1. But I do think the problem is the AFC. You tell me. Is Jacksonville ready to make a move?
They could get there, right? I mean, they could get there.
They could.
They'll have an easy road. But, you know, we know what the trend for Super Bowl losing teams is. Not very good, right, to even show up again next year. But, you know, if you look at the entire list, it's interesting. Jacksonville's 28-1. How about the Niners at 20-1? So they believe in Jimmy G that he's going to really improve that team. And obviously they played much better in the second after the 0-9 start. So, I mean, I'd go with the Packers. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy for the majority of the season, I would say that they could be representing and, you know, leapfrog Minnesota and be back in the mix next year.
This is gross. First off, the Bears aren't winning a Super Bowl, so you're just completely...
I'll book any... If anyone wants to put $5 or $10 on the Bears, I'm booking it right now, and I'll buy lunch.
You're just wasting your money.
I'll get in on that.
Green Bay and...
I'll take your money, cash right now.
Green Bay and Minnesota at numbers of 9 and 12, no thanks. If I'm taking a team in the NFC, I need better numbers, because my competition is Philly, New Orleans, Carolina, Atlanta... The Rams, yep. Seattle, and Dallas could easily bounce back. We're talking about 8 to 10 quality teams in the NFC.
And you were the guy with the cash 40 to 1 on the Eagles. I want you to pick out a team or two here, and we'll put a show pool together.
I'm still waiting for him to get a round of coffee or breakfast.
How about Houston?
Oh my God!
What about Houston? Let's say the quarterback comes back and J.J. Watt can play. I'm just saying
25 to 1.
If that was on this list, that would be my pick.
Right. This list
25-1. You like the 25-1 on the Texans?
Well, here, I'll tell you this. Last night I recorded my podcast with the assistant sportsbook director at the Golden Nugget, and he told me a couple of interesting things that relate to this. Minnesota, they always have that number down because they're one of the most popular teams. People always bet on the Vikings. Hmm. People go out from Minnesota, and they bet on their Vikings every single year. And he said the most popular bets right now, San Francisco, Houston, and Denver.
Mm.
Well, Denver gets a quarterback.
Yes.
Denver gets Kirk Cousins. Now that's a Super Bowl contender.
How do you feel if they get Foles?
I don't know Foles. Yeah. I don't know if Foles is false,
yeah.
you know,
false
gold
positive,
or,
yeah.
I don't know what to make of Foles. I think you need to do a ton of research. Guy had three of the best games you're ever going to see, and he did it at the right time. But, I mean, what do you think of Brock Osweiler?
Yeah.
I mean, guys can look good, and then you find out, oh, they had a lot around them.
I hate that they're popular bets right now, but I just, if we're throwing in other teams, I would say San Francisco and Houston. But as far as the question goes, if I had to bet one of these teams because of the weak AFC, I would bet on the Patriots 5-1. They still have Tom Brady threw for 500 yards the other day.
From this list, Minnesota.
Yeah, it's Minnesota, New England. I'm going to go with Joe because he just cashed, so I'm going to say Patriots.
follow the guy with the money in his pockets. That's a good strategy.
I'm a trend guy. I follow trends.
Well, I mean,
he's better X.
Joe cashed. I was just going to say, I love Joe, but he's not better X.
Wow. Did you
see? Know what he is? Joe, you're better X without the bankroll.
Did you see the numbers in Vegas? And
yes.
They eked out like a $1.2 million profit after paying off better X all his gazillion dollars.
Well, it was interesting. I guess from book to book, they all did. It varied.
Some
spots
took a bath.
Yeah, it's where he bet.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. you lost money if BetterX hit your spot. Some places did well on props. Some places did bad.
All right, 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. What do you think? How do you feel about Brad Childress coming aboard? Is that an under-the-radar type of move, or is it something that will obviously help? Robin Lopez, has he played his last game for the Bulls? Did benching Malcolm Butler cost New England the Super Bowl? What do you read into Josh McDaniels' reluctance to go to the Colts, or is that really not a story? And Patriots 5-1, Super Bowl next year. Packers 9-1, the Vikings 12-1, the Bears 100-1. Where is the value? Mully and Hanley on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.